clear. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. It is McHugh!
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Today I'm flying solo, but thankfully I have enlisted the help of Joe McKelvey and Ben Banks to guide us through the 3-0 victory over Hamilton. We'll discuss new contracts for Barry Maguire and Liam Grimshaw, rumours of Jake Hasty exiting Fir Park in the summer, and we'll see what else takes a fancy over the next three quarters of an hour or so. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers, Barrett.
Aye, thanks for having on. I think that's my third time now. Do you get like a hat-trick ball or something for coming on three times? Or
unfortunately not, no mate, you get fuck all. Okay, right. Yeah, Jay, I'll start with yourself. You know, here I'll start with Joe instead. A 3-0 victory over Hamilton at the weekend, emphatic, as comfortable a victory over Accies as I can remember, certainly, albeit I did miss the 3-0 victory at the back end of last season, ahead of the Scottish Cup final. Blew them out of the water in the first half. Very unfortunate not to have scored more goals. If Gabuli Aribe had his shooting boots on, I think it would have been a lot more than that. But we can be very satisfied with a great 3 points, and it sets us up very nicely for Saturday's, now what is a crunch game against Hibs.
Yeah, absolutely. We have been in good form of late, and obviously the top six push now seems like within our grasp, you may say, albeit with a difficult run-in. The thing that I thought was going to be the most difficult thing about trying to attain top six after the six-game winning run was, as much as we'd put ourselves into a good position, I thought maintaining that level of form until the 33rd game would be difficult. And I thought that after winning so many games well, kind of getting a decent point away to Kilmarnock, I did think that Accies at home was one that just had the potential to trip us up just with the way football goes. But thankfully, we've come out and, as you say, managed to get a very, very comfortable 3-0 win. I like the fact that that's the second home game in recent times, along with the Livingston game, where we've come out goal guns blazing from the get go, and we've managed to have a team all but beaten at half time, albeit it doesn't make for a great second 45 minutes of watching. But the fact that we've been putting teams to the swords has been absolutely great. Obviously, the change of shape and the guys that have come into the team are massively contributing to that. But we seem to now be playing without a fear and going out and believing that we're going to win each game with style as well. So, yeah, it certainly sets us up very well to play Hibs on Saturday. I watched the Hibs and Rangers game on Friday night as well. I obviously disappointed that Rangers didn't keep Hibs at bay for us, but do think we are going to have a game in our hands on Saturday. I think Mark McNulty is a really good signing for Hibs. His movement in that game was terrific up front, especially when they were on the counter. So I think Saturday definitely does have the potential to be a very lively game, very end-to-end, two teams that like to play attacking football. So hopefully we'll be in for a good win, but hopefully it's us that comes away with the 3 points.
Ben, we will talk about the Hibs game later on in the podcast, but I'd like to focus a wee bit on the style of play and the fashion in which we beat Hamilton on Saturday. We bemoaned the style of football played in the first half of the season, and rightfully so, but the style that we're playing right now is a breath of fresh air. It's fantastic to watch. We are, as Joe said, we're blown teams off the park at times. Livingston at Fir Park, then Hamilton, and I know that they're not top quality opposition, but you've still got to win these games, and certainly we've managed to do that with a good bit to spare, possibly getting away from these games slightly disappointed that we weren't able to add to the scoreline. David Turnbull's playing a starring role in that. He's integral to everything that we do just now. Another two goals on Saturday as well. Looks like a player that could get into double figures for the season. And considering he only came into the team in November, or late October even, that's very, very impressive.
I think David Turnbull's been a really impressive performer since he's broke into the team. I think he made his debut back in February last year. Even though he's made such a notable contribution, and even though he's been the star of the show, if you will, I think there's a lot of Millwall players that have perhaps contributed to his success, like the likes of Liam Grimshaw, who signed a new contract today. I think he's been absolutely magnificent and has been perhaps one of Millwall's better performers over the course of a season. His work from the back allows players like Turnbull to do their work in the midfield role. But talking about Turnbull specifically, I can't really remember the last time we've seen such a good player on the ball at Fir Park as him. He's got so much composure for such a young age. To be able to do some of the things he does is quite incredible. And as you said, the aforementioned goals. And he's only really started playing since sort of Halloween time, sort of regularly in the starting 11. So to make that much of an impact in such a short space of time is really impressive.
Joe, the thing is, with young players, you expect a wee bit of a dip. And I guess Turnbull, perhaps in that Ross County game I'm thinking of in particular, had a poor game, but he was straight back on it for the midweek game against Hibs, and he's never looked back. It's very impressive to be able to keep up these levels.
That has probably been the best thing about him, is his consistency. I mean, you did, mate. He probably had one bad game, but like, wasn't like it was a terrible game, and he still created bits and bobs on a day where no Millwall player could really say they'd done much to aid the cause. But yeah, his consistency, technique, I mean, you could go on and on and on about the many things that Turnbull does really well. For such a young age, he's done incredibly well so far.
That was good, Ben. But I did ask Joe the question.
I don't know what's happening over this side of this.
No, it's all right. We'll blame the wind. We'll ask Joe a question this time. Joe, of course, David Turnbull will get the plaudits. Jake Hastie won't be far behind. But guys like Richard Tate, Liam Grimshaw, Alan Campbell, there's Tom Aldred. There's so many players playing very, very well in this team just now.
Yeah, I think the thing about the team for me at the minute is that it just seems to have struck a perfect balance. I think you've got Alan Campbell's able to be the kind of the box-to-box midfielder that we know is his strengths. And I think that's basically stemmed from the fact that beside him you've got Goran, who's not only a physical force, but can actually play a bit too. So it almost seems a bit like where maybe in the past 18 months we've had midfielders beside Campbell like Carl McHugh, Andy Rose, Big Romana, and it maybe seems that Goran has just sort of struck the right balance of attributes between those three to be able to be an able partner for Campbell, which frees Turnbull to do the stuff higher up the pitch. Obviously, the two wingers have been a revelation, and as much as he's maybe not been setting the heather on fire, I think over the period of time where we've been doing quite well, I think Curtis Mayne's actually provided a good foil for the three behind him. I think it's kind of landed. I think the way we've been playing, certainly with Hastie getting among the goals and whatever is, the style maybe doesn't lend to a free scoring centre forward. And while I don't think Curtis Mayne's going to win any Player of the Year awards, who knows, he may not even have done enough to be offered a new deal. But I certainly think him having him as a sort of vocal point that's perhaps not wholly concerned about what his own goal tally is for the season has allowed the three behind him to play. And I suppose you have to kind of, if we're talking about performances all throughout the team, I think it'd be remiss of us not to mention how good Mark Gillespie's been. I mean, I'm sure when Trevor Carson's very, very unfortunate injury came about the tail end of last year, we were all quite worried about not only about Trevor's health first and foremost, but what effect it was going to have on our team without a guy who'd been a revelation for us. But it's been an absolute seamless transition with Gillespie and goals, and he's barely put a foot wrong since coming into the team.
Yeah, that's right, he absolutely hasn't. And I had actually left both Gillespie and Gorin out because, Ben, I would like to talk about them both a wee bit more. Gorin Rodriguez, we did talk about him a fair bit in the last podcast. Michael Stewart, his prophecy rang true eventually. It took him a wee while to get a game, but then when he did, he has been a really big player for us over the last 2 or 3 months. A very composed player, but he's got that streak in him, that almost a kind of mean, cynical streak that you need in Scottish football. You need to be hard, you need to be physical, but you can also do the nice work as well. It just seems like the full package, and a player that we really should be desperate to keep a hold of.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of seems like that fabled night on Sports Scene has really sort of drove him on. Since that night, he has kicked on a fair bit, which is quite a strange coincidence. But from like Spanish players, you sort of stereotypically think of like to get their foot in the ball and spray it about the park a bit, and that's personally what I sort of expected from the small highlight reels I'd seen him in the summer. And up until November, you sort of thought, he looks like quite a dud signing from Robinson. But since then, I mean, he seems to have just added a bit more grit to his game, like you said, and maybe hit the gym a bit, because the one thing he was lacking, you could see he had that technical flair, but it just wasn't physical enough. He was getting bullied any time he was in the middle of the park. And I can remember watching the Mull Colts game against Ross County when Gorham was in the park, and even then he didn't look physically able to keep up with the demands of Scottish game. But since then, I mean, his work's been unquestionable. I don't know whether that's just on the back of the team as a whole playing so well, or whether that's him adapting his own game. But the winter break seems to have done wonders for him, and since then he's sort of came back with a flourish. As for Gillespie, I think, without being too harsh to Trevor Carson, we've not really missed him as much as what some fans thought. I mean, in the past, you've had backups like Lee Hollis, Gunnar Nielsen. Anytime your first-team goalkeeper get injured, it was all hell would break loose at the back. But Gillespie's kept, I think, 5 clean sheets in his past 7. I might be wrong on that, but he's kept a good record of clean sheets anyway. And he's made numerous vital stops. In the game against Kilmarnock, he made 2 or 3 really good saves that kept the game at 0-0, and that earns us a vital point that sort of keeps us slightly within distance of Kilmarnock. I mean, they're only 8 or 9 points off us just now, even though that's an unrealistic target. Sort of keeps them semi-near us. So Gillespie's won his points as well, which is really good. But no, the two of them have been real standouts, especially in the past 2 or 3 months, and two players perhaps that haven't received enough credit for it.
Joe, we'll look at the contract situation as it stands just now. Barry Maguire signed a new deal. He's obviously on loan at Queen of the South just now. Liam Grimshaw, a player who, I've got to confess, I was unsure about, despite the fact he had been at Fir Park for a couple of years. Even last season, he had a fantastic game up at Aberdeen before the League Cup semi-final, against Rangers. He played a big role in that game. He then subsequently plays a big role against Aberdeen in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup. He played in the final as well. But it was almost in fits and bursts, his good performances came. Then he would have perhaps a below-par game or be part of a team that was defeated. And quite often he would be the fall guy. He would drop out the team for 3 or 4 weeks and we wouldn't see very much of him for a prolonged spell. This season, he's got his chance in an unfamiliar position, it must be said, playing it right back. And he's just been absolutely phenomenal. He's been so indicative of what we do well. And I'm just so enjoying watching Liam Grimshaw. He seems to completely get the football club. He seems to completely get the town. Just everything about his attitude towards playing for Motherwell is absolutely spot on. So I'm just thoroughly delighted that he will be continuing to play his football at Fir Park.
Absolutely. We'll come in last year and get given a year deal and then get given another year deal. And it seems now he's been given another year deal again. So for me, actually, I've been that impressed with him since he went to right back that the thing for me tonight is delighted he signed a new contract, but in all honesty, slightly disappointed it maybe wasn't a 2-year deal. I think we've kind of had a lot of problems at left back in the last few years. Like we've just never seemed to adequately replace Stevie Hamill. Tate does a fine job there for being a right footer, and And to be honest, the way our back four looks just now, I'm hoping it continues with that shape, that personnel for as long as possible. Grimshaw, as you say, taking ahead fits and starts. His first spell at the club on loan, I was disappointed they didn't keep him. I thought he was really coming on to a game then. But I mean, he kind of swings and roundabouts, because when he left at that time, Chris Cadden emerged and came into the team. But last season, as you said, forced himself into the reckoning for the League Cup final with a good performance at Pittodrie. Done well in the semi-final against Aberdeen for the Scottish Cup. And you were saying about him being the fall guy. I don't know if you remember this particularly, but I remember last year you and I both went to Firhill in midweek and we were being beaten 3-0 at half-time. And that night I thought Grimshaw was the only player in the first half who actually came close to getting past marks for Motherwell, but yet he was one of two who was unfortunate enough to get hooked at half-time that night. What it does give you is, in the first half of the season, games where Grimshaw played, that perhaps we were in the old style of play, which we didn't really enjoy watching, was that when it looked like other players had perhaps downed tools or other players had been confident with short, you get blood, guts, determination, everything the fan wants to see from a player in Grimshaw, and as you say, kind of, he really seems to get it. And when we won at New Douglas Park just after Christmas, and the video Motherwell produced after it, you can clearly hear him singing "Motherwell, Motherwell, Motherwell," as the rest of the players are just clapping the fans, and he just does really seem to get it. You seem like, I know he's a big Burnley fan himself, and you just get the kind of, not to be too cliche, but you do get the kind of impression with Grimshaw that if he wasn't on the park on a Saturday, he would be in the terrace.
Yeah, and Joe, just to kind of complete that, I think it is easy to come out with the old cliche that the club gets under your skin, but that does seem to be the way with many players in Motherwell. Some players just seem to be a good fit, and he certainly seems to be one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he came up, I'm sure it was kind of before it was fashionable for the players to be part of the Welsh society, before it was written into their contracts. I'm sure he joined of his own accord. And he always just seemed to be the first to kind of help out with any sort of fan thing around the club and everything else. I don't know whether we've maybe got to a point now with him on the pitch as well, where right back we've maybe found his position. Because there's a lot of things he does at right back that I don't think are too much different to what he offered in the middle of the park, but they just seem more suited to that berth. And he's the kind of guy that, when the final whistle goes after the victory, he's going to be the first one celebrating it. And he has once or twice been partial to taking a wee yellow card for celebrating with the fans. So, as I say, yeah, just absolutely delighted. And if you can kind of get a man with his attitude embodying what it's about to play for Motherwell, then long may that continue.
And then we move on to Jake Hasty, who certainly has been fantastic since breaking into the team, surpassed all sorts of expectations as far as I'm concerned, and the heights he's managed to hit in such a short time. Ben, There's obviously a clear link there to Rangers. The speculation is that deal may have been signed. We don't know. We've had nothing confirmed as yet. First and foremost, losing Hasty to Rangers would be a massive blow. I don't think we can get away from that. But the fact that we've managed to secure David Turnbull to a new deal, Liam Grimshaw has followed in his footsteps. We've got guys like Alex Rodriguez-Gorin that were desperate to tie up. There's positives there that we're moving in the right direction. I think while Hasty would certainly be a loss, perhaps that the business we've done already ahead of the summer months might take a wee bit of the pain off of that.
I think another thing about that is just a few months ago, most Motherwell fans didn't know who Jake Hasty was. I mean, he was playing Championship football at Alloa, and he'd spent the previous season out on loan at Airdrie, and you'd probably be forgiven as a Motherwell fan for maybe taking your eye off Jake Hasty a bit. So I don't think, even though it'll be because of his form, it will be a big loss. I don't think it's going to be as big as some fans have said it's going to be, because when you look at it, he's only played 11, 12 senior games for Mull, and by the time he's not even going to hit 30 senior games by the time the season ends. So I don't think it's that much of a monumental loss. It's a bit like losing a lone player to me. You sort of expect them to go to bigger things, and you don't see their impact as much because they didn't play as many games, is sort of my view in Hasty. But there's no doubting with his potential and what Mullow could go on to make from him and what he could go on to give the team, it would be a massive loss. But I don't think he's perhaps going to be that big, massive loss that some fans say he might be.
Joe, this is coming, or his big move is coming very soon after breaking into the first team. There's obviously examples of players that have left and it's not worked out for them. David Turnbull talked about he felt the need to build up his experience and his game time for Motherwell and then see what happens. Of course, we would like all young players to follow that example and sign long-term contracts with the football club. There's obviously the element too that there'll be more money in offer at Ibrox, there'll be more money at many of the clubs that he has been linked with so far. It's clearly a difficult decision. As fans, we're always going to want the player to remain, and particularly when he's playing so well for the football club at this moment in time. But you can, of course, see the lure of moving elsewhere for more money. The only thing that concerns me is I reckon there's a good chance of Jake Hasty's career stalling with a move to Rangers. They've got a lot of depth in that area of the pitch. They're not notorious for giving young players too much of an opportunity. It could be another case of a Rangers or a Celtic buying up young players from other Scottish Premiership sides. And I don't want to say letting them rot, but it's not far off that.
Yeah, I could definitely see that point of view. It's a very, very complicated kind of mindset to work out what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing. I think if you look at Rangers' options in that area at the minute, they've got obviously Kent might go back to Liverpool. You don't know if he'll stay long term. There's Candeas, there's Middleton, who's their own youth product. Then there's going to be Jamie Murphy coming back from injury next season. But one thing I would say about if Jake Hasty's going from a football and a development perspective, if you look at the current Rangers team and which players in it have come from other Scottish Cup clubs and have been flourishing, then you probably would only say this early days for Glenn Kamara, but in terms of who's established herself as a Rangers player, you might say that Ryan Jack would perhaps be the only one. And I mean, Jake Hasty's played maybe, 9-10 games since he came back in loan from Alloa. Ryan Jack must have played over 100 games for Aberdeen and was the captain of them and finishing second place in two cup finals when he got his move to Rangers. So I definitely think Jake Hasty has to be very careful as to what his career does. On the other hand, I suppose you could look at it from the example that Trevor Carson didn't get that move to Celtic in deadline day last year, which could have been a financially lucrative to a guy who's perhaps not made that much money in his career. And then obviously gets deep vein thrombosis. Hasty's maybe looking at a situation like that. For me, he needs to think about the fact that he's 19. Carson's a bit older than that. But also, I would like to think that if I was Jake Hasty, I would have enough faith in my ability that I would think I was going to make it of my own accord and didn't need to jump up for a lucrative deal just yet. I suppose there is also the side of the fence where do you say, is it bad management by Motherwell that were having to negotiate with Turnbull and with Hasty with six months left in their contracts when you would say that they're both obvious talents? Yeah, I would say so. I would definitely say that the club has to certainly ask a question or two of themselves. I guess they're maybe once bitten, twice shy with the fact that Ian Barraclough gave Luke Watt and Dom Thomas 3.5 year deals, and neither of them worked out at all, really. They've probably been stung by that. I would like to think that there's someone at the club who could have spotted the potential in Hasty and even a year extension that we could maybe they've been then negotiating to extend now last summer. But for me, you also have to take into account that he only scored a goal against league opposition once in Alloa. So he's obviously come into our team and he's scored 6 goals early on. But there is really a lot of complex factors going into this. The only thing I would say to kind of against the club is were we maybe saying that if he come back from Alloa and didn't work out, then that was him on the scrap heap. So loyalty works both ways, yeah. We've nurtured him since age of 9 years old. We've given him his chance in the first team, but, I mean, equally had this run of games not work out, his agent could have been looking to get him a championship club next season. So it's one of those ones that I've, since the sort of link came out on Thursday night, I've kind of battled with what's right, what's wrong, what should he do? What do I want him to do is obviously stay at Motherwell, but it's a very, very, very complex situation. The one thing I will say, there were a few murmurs that he might have got booed on Saturday. As supporters, all we know at this moment in time is that there was a story in the Sun linking him to Rangers. So if we believe believe everything that is written in that paper to be gospel, then I think we're struggling.
Yeah, I'd agree. We would have already sewn up the deal for Willow Flood and such likes over the last couple of years. But Ben, I guess what Joe says about the signing extensions on young players' deals, I think of the likes of Adam Cummins, Zane Francis Angall, in addition to the guys like Ross Forbes, Dom Thomas, all handed extended contracts and then not been able to kick on at the football club. Although I think many of these players are quite low risk. I don't think they'll be looking for substantial salaries. And you've got to look at what they've brought to the team. Certainly the likes of Dom Thomas, Luke Watt, they certainly haven't contributed anywhere near as much as Jake Hasty has in his fairly short time at the football club. Mark McGee gave him a chance back in 2016 as a sub at Celtic Park. And since then, he has found it very difficult. He's impressed in the Ryan Brew Cup. He's impressed in loan spells away from the club, but still obviously was viewed as far enough off the first team level to be sent back out on loan at the start of this season as well. I just would have really liked to see us get that, at least something underneath his nose to look at a wee bit sooner than we did.
Yeah, I think for me it's, I've said a couple of times over the past kind of 5 or 6 weeks when both of them have been in the Rich Vaney Forum that they have been together. Had we offered Turnbull and Hasty 3 year deals on £400 a week or something in the summer, I'm inclined to think they would both have signed them. So obviously nobody's got a crystal ball, but here we are kind of 6 or 7 months down the line from the summer, and we're probably talking that £400 a week figure I've quoted, we're probably talking that's probably trebled now. But when you look at it, I mean, I don't think Jake Hasty would have thought that he would have come into the Motherwell first team. Albeit, we also do remember that it did take Elliot Freer getting injured against Ross County for Hasty to be thrust into the team. I don't think Hasty would really have predicted anything like the start he's had. Turnbull maybe a wee bit different because he's now kind of played over 20 games and he's kind of proven himself to have found that level of consistency. But I think, as you say, Hasty was considered far enough out the picture in the summer that 6 months at Alloa was going to do him better than hanging around here. I really think, all things considered, that had an extra year contract till 2020 been put in front of Hasty for £400 a week, even that represents kind of low enough risk for us that it would certainly have been worth putting on the table for me. It's just one of those ones that you can't get all of them right. It's just a shame that this kind of one that we haven't got right with Hasty is a guy who's come in and in terms of instant impact, excluding David Ferrer's 45-minute hat-trick against Hibs, I don't think in my time at Motherwell I've witnessed anything quite like this in terms of instant impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the club will come on and get out a bit of criticism for this, but as I say, I think there's a case for both sides in this scenario. Perhaps the agent is another factor in it, that while David Turnbull was quite sure of the fact that he should still remain at Fir Park and he had more learning to do in the game, that's not to say that Jake Hasty's agent isn't pushing him away from a move away from Motherwell and the opportunities that await him elsewhere. So, yeah, a big decision for Jake, and it seems to be one that hasn't been made as yet. I think we've got to just go on the fact that nothing has been announced, and for that reason, he's still our player. You look at the reaction that the Jordan Jones move from Kilmarnock to Rangers caused back in January, albeit Jones handled it in a very poor manner, but Jake Hasty is going to a rival. Rangers might not consider us as a rival, but considering the amount of Motherwell fans, or Rangers fans, sorry, from Motherwell, I think it's fair to say that most of us have a very strong dislike for all things Rangers, and seeing one of our best players move to them, especially when we're in the knowledge that perhaps the first team opportunities won't be quite what they would be at Fir Park, it will be a bitter pill to swallow. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops. But I just hope that people keep an open mind just now. While there's nothing been announced, he's still our player. Hopefully, by getting right behind the boy, that may act as an incentive. That might show him how much affection the Motherwell fans have for him. And he may decide to stay on for another season. And albeit if he performs at the level he is going to move on to bigger and better things. We've unfortunately got to accept that. But for now, I would like to see Jake Hasty keep his feet in the ground and see what the next 12 months bring for him. That's my hope. I think there's a fair bit of claret and amber tinted specs on at the same time, but it will be interesting to see how it develops. Another thing that will be interesting to see how it develops is the race for the top six. And Ben, Saturday brings a trip to Easter Road. 2 points separate the sides in the league table. It would have been utterly ridiculous to consider the fact that we had a chance of the top six just as soon as a couple of months ago, but we certainly are well involved. We've overtaken St Johnston, who were over the hill compared to, and then far away as far in comparison to ourselves back in December. We've turned that around. This is a big game, and obviously while finishing the top six doesn't bring you any sort of trophy or anything like that, it would be a financial reward for the team as well, which would be significant going into the summer months, having a bit more money in the budget, hopefully, for Stephen Robinson to spend.
Yeah, I think just as well as that, no Motherwell fan realistically wants to be going into the final set of fixtures playing the likes of Dundee, St Johnstone, should they continue their runner form, Livingston. It's the big games that you want to be playing in. And I know some might argue that it'll be a chance to sort of maybe decide who goes down and you'll see a few victories before the end of the season. But for me, anyway, I'd much rather see defeats against the likes of Celtic and Rangers just for the fact it might actually be a decent spectacle. Like those games when the two bigger teams come to Fir Park, the games feel like they mean something. There's a bigger crowd, there's a better atmosphere, no matter what time of the year it is. And I just feel those games just are better spectacles to watch as somebody going to the games. As well as that, as you said, I think the financial reward's quite big as well for a club like us, you know what I mean? Like, the difference between us finishing 7th and 6th could be the difference between us signing that key player for next season, or giving Jake Hasty, for example, a bit extra wages to entice him to stay on at Fir Park. So I think I don't want to say it's all riding on the game on the road, but it is going to be a big factor. If we do lose that game, then that's us back out of touch a wee bit away from Hibs. But I think they'll be under no illusions at how hard a game this will be. They gave Rangers a really good run for their money on Friday night, despite maybe some will say they were quite poor for the first half of that. They still managed to nick a draw in the end. And I think since Paul Heckenbottom's came in, they've been quite a bit stable after going through quite a rough patch under the last days of Neil Lennon. So I think it'll be a really tough game for Mull on Saturday, but if they can get a result at the end, not even necessarily a win, even a draw would be good enough. Just keep in touch of Hibs, just so the top six team is still alive.
And there'll obviously be a clear common link, Joe, a player that was discussed in the podcast almost more than he ever played for Motherwell, and Gael Bigramana, a player that, for me, kind of flattered to deceive more often than not. He's only had one substitute appearance since what I think many of us would agree it was a bit of a strange move, leaving Motherwell for Hibs in the January window, saying that they've got a few problems in the centre of the park just now. There is a possibility that we might actually see Gael Bigramana up against us. You've just got to hope that it's not the same old story when it comes to former players coming against Motherwell. We normally know how that script goes.
Yeah, well, I did notice, obviously, Darren McGregor get sent off the tail end of the Rangers game on Friday night, and I noticed on the thread, in fact, Pine Bovril for the game on Saturday, there was a Hibs fan suggesting that one of their midfielders would be moving back to defence at the weekend, which, as you say, could open a pathway into the team for Bigramana. And his time at Motherwell certainly will forever go down as a massive disappointment for me. As you know, I kind of follow Coventry a wee bit and was a massive fan of his work down there before he joined Motherwell. But for one reason or another, it didn't work out for him at Motherwell. There were times that he offered a better footballing technical ability, if you like, in the middle of the park than anyone else at the time, but kind of lacked the physicality. He had a wee sort of good spell earlier this season, but when it comes down to it, as I mentioned previously, if you take out all the kind of central midfielders we've had to play alongside Campbell over the last couple of years, Gordon seems to have the things that Bigramana could do, the passing ability, as well as having a bit more of the dirty stuff. It could be one of those ones that he does come back to haunt you, as you say, but I would probably go as far to say I would be happier to see him playing against us on Saturday, because not only do we know what he's all about, but he is coming up against three central midfielders who are very much in for him. Turnbull's been in the team for a good few months, obviously, but Campbell's a wee bit burnt out before Christmas and spent some time coming in and out of the team. And then obviously the Gordon's really only been a fixture since Christmas. So what he's coming up against is a midfield three that's not only in form, but is fresh enough not to be feeling the effects of the season being in the middle of March.
Joe, we're just after losing Ben for about the seventh time during this podcast, unfortunately. I don't think the weather's doing his Wi-Fi signal very much good at this moment in time, it must be said. Just a final one, going into the weekend, Motherwell's women's side actually play on the Friday night. It'll be interesting to see the difference in a crowd at that. Actually, the women's team kicking off the weekend rather than rounding it off. I think sometimes the Sunday, when you've already spent much of your Saturday at the games, it may be a wee bit more difficult to attract a crowd. The team have had a mixed start to the season so far. They've progressed to the quarterfinals of the SWPL Cup. They won their opening home game against Stirling University, but that's been followed up with defeats against Forfar Farmington and then last year's runners-up, Hibs, at the weekend. It's Celtic on Friday night, a game that was meant to be covered by BBC Alba. Unfortunately, that now isn't the case due to logistical issues, as what we've heard so far. Not heard much else since then. But you would hope that if Motherwell fans are able to go, they could get along to Kay Park and support the team, because it's something that the club has invested in to quite an extent in recent times. And they're part of the club. They deserve our backing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as you say, as it comes about on a Sunday sometimes, Sunday often seems to be a day of running errands and doing chores for people, and potentially for the most sociable among us, a day sitting in front of the couch hungover. But Friday night's kind of fresh from most people's working weeks ending. Hopefully people that are kind of maybe don't have any other plans can get along and see them, and obviously support the fact that we're now kind of under the same bracket, under the same club, and hopefully give the team a good support in order to help them get the 3 points, which is, I imagine, will be a tough ask against a Celtic side.
Yeah, and added interest, I guess, of Eddie Willicke-Black, who left Motherwell for Celtic towards the back end of last season. So certainly a few factors to it that will make it a very interesting fixture. So good luck to Motherwell's women's side on Friday. Then let's hope we can make it a double over the weekend with a win at Easter Road as well. Ben, I believe you are back. So while you are here, I'm going to say cheerio and thanks very much for your time tonight.
No worries. Hopefully if I return, like my car crash of an internet, maybe I'll hold up for more than 10 minutes on this call.
It is quite all right, mate. We have enjoyed what we've managed to hear of you. And just make sure you don't get blown away overnight, okay?
I'll try not to.
Joe, thanks again, mate, as always.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back after Hibs away. Until then, thank you and goodbye. You talk sad like a Bally's. I gotta find some better weeds. 4 or 5 meters running around the bend when the government may just surround you again. If dying young won't change your mind, baby, 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 right.
88 right on time.